16. Wayne hobbled through the railway station, supporting himself on his brown cane, walking with a slow, intentionally frail step. There was quite a crowd pushing and shoving one another, and gawking at the train up ahead. A group of them surged to the side, nearly toppling him. Everyone was standing up so tall. That gave Wayne, back bent with age, no hope of seeing what the fuss was about.
"No thought for a poor elderly woman," Wayne grumbled.
A gravelly tone, nasal and higher pitched than his normal voice, mixed with a nice Margothian district accent. The district no longer existed, at least not in the same way. It had been consumed by the industrial quarter of its octant, its residents moving away. A dying accent for a dying woman.
"No respect at all. A travesty, I tell you. Plain and simple, that's what it is."
A few youths in the crowd in front glanced back at him, taking in his ancient coat. It went down to his ankles, his face furrowed with age, his silvery hair beneath a felt cap. "Sorry, ma'am," one of them finally said, making way for him. "Now there's a nice boy," Wayne thought, patting his arm and hobbling forward. One by one, people made way for him. Sometimes it took a fit of coughing that sounded like it might be contagious. Wayne was careful not to look like a beggar. That would draw the attention of constables, who might think he was looking for marks to pickpocket. No, he wasn't a beggar. He was Abergane, an old woman who had come to see what the fuss was about. Abergane wasn't rich, nor was she poor. Frugal, with a meticulously patched coat, a favored hat that had once been fashionable, spectacles thick as a dock worker's wits. A few very young boys led her by, and Abergane gave them each a piece of candy, patting them on their heads. Nice boys. They reminded Abergane of her grandchildren. Wayne eventually reached the front. There, the breaknaught sat in all its glory. It was a train car built like a fortress, with thick steel armor, shiny rounded corners, and a massive door on the side. That door looked like the one to an enormous vault, with a rotating wheel lock on the outside. The door was open, and the chamber inside was mostly empty. A large steel cargo box had been welded to the floor at the center of the rail car. In fact, he could see through the door in the rail car that the cargo box itself looked as if it had been welded shut on all sides.
"Oh, my," Wayne said. "That is impressive."
A guard stood nearby, wearing the insignia of an officer in the private security force of House Tekiel. He smiled, puffing out his chest with pride.
"It marks the dawn of a new era," he said. "The end of banditry and railway robberies."
"Oh, it's impressive, young man," Wayne said. "But surely you exaggerate. I've seen rail cars before. I even rode on one. Cursed that day. My grandson Charatel wanted me to come with him and meet his bride over in Covingtar. And it was the only way. Though I thought riding in a horse cart had always worked well enough for me before. Progress, he'd called it. Progress is getting locked up in a box, I suppose, unable to see the sun overhead or enjoy the trip. Anyway, that train car was like this one, only not so shiny."
"I assure you," the guard said, "this is quite impregnable. It will change everything. You see that door?"
"It locks," Wayne said. "I can see that. But safes can be cracked, young man."
"Not this one," he said. "Bandits won't be able to open it because it can't be opened. Not by them, and not by us. Once that door is closed, it engages a mechanism tied to a ticking clock inside the doors. Those doors cannot be opened again for 12 hours, regardless of whether or not one knows the door code."
"Explosives," Wayne said. "Bandits are always blowing things up. Everyone knows that.
That steel is 6 inches thick, the guard said. The amount of dynamite it would take to blow it open would likely destroy the contents of the car.
But surely an Allomancer could get in, Wayne said.
How? They could push on the metal all they wanted. It's so heavy it would toss them backward. And if they somehow did get in, we will have 8 guards riding inside the rail car.
My, Wayne said, letting his accent slip. That's impressive indeed. What will the guards be armed with?
A full quartet of...
the man began, but then trailed off, looking more closely at Wayne.
Of...
his eyes narrowed in suspicion.
Oh, I'm missing my tea, Wayne exclaimed,
then turned and began hobbling back through the crowd.
Stop that woman, the guard said.
Wayne stopped pretending and stood up straight, shoving his way through the crowd with more fervor. He glanced over his shoulder. The guardsman was forcing his way forward in pursuit.
Stop!
The guardsman yelled.
Stop, damn you!
Wayne raised his cane and pulled the trigger. His hand started wobbling as it always did when he tried to use a gun, but this one only had blanks in it, so it was all right. The pistol-like crack drove the crowd into a panic, people ducking down in a wave like wind blowing through a field of grain. Wayne darted through the prostrate figures, hopping over some of them, reaching the back of the crowd. The guard raised his gun. Wayne dashed around a corner of the station building. Then he stopped time. He threw off his coat, then pulled off the blouse underneath, revealing a gentleman's suit. Black coat, white shirt, red cravat. Wax had called it purposefully unimaginative, whatever that meant. He removed the items that, tied to the inside of the blouse, had formed the elderly woman's bust, a small bag, a collapsible gentleman's hat, and a wet rag. He unfolded the hat and stuffed the blouse into the extra space inside it before pulling off his wig and putting the hat on his head. He ripped the outer layer off his cane, turning it black instead, tossed the wig aside, then dropped the bag by the wall. Finally, he wiped his face clean of makeup with the rag, discarded it, then collapsed his speed bubble. He stumbled out around the corner of the building, acting as if he'd been shoved. He cursed, straightening his hat and raising his black cane, shaking it in anger. The guard puffed up beside him.
Are you all right, my lord?
No,
Wayne snapped, filling his voice with every ounce of aristocratic condescension he could manage. Madian Way's accent. The richest area of the First Octant, where House Tekiel owned much of the land.
What kind of ruffian was that, Captain? The launch was supposed to be handled with poise and care.
The guard froze, and Wayne could see his mind working. He'd been expecting a random nobleman, but this person sounded like a member of House Tekiel, the guard's employers.
Sorry, my lord, the guard said, but I chased him off.
Who was he?
Wayne said, walking over to the wig.
He threw this aside as he passed me.
Was dressed up like an elderly woman, the guard said, scratching his head. Asking me questions about the brake knot.
Damn it, old man! That must have been one of the vanishers!
The guard paled.
You know how embarrassed our house will be if something happens on this trip?
Wayne said, stepping in, shaking the cane.
Our reputation is on the line! Our heads are on the line, Captain! How many guards do you have?
3 dozen, my lord, and...
Not enough! Not enough at all! Send for more!
No,
Wayne said.
I'll do it! I have several of my own guards here. I'll send one to fetch another division. Your men are watching the area for more creatures such as that one?
Well, I haven't told them yet, my lord. Thought I'd try to get them myself, you see, and...
You left your post?
Wayne screamed, raising his hands to the side of his head, cane dangling from his fingers.
You let him lure you away? Idiot! Get back, man! Go! Alert the others! Oh, survivor above! If this goes wrong, we are dead! Dead!
The guard captain scrambled back and ran for the train, where people were moving away in a panic. Wayne leaned back against the wall, checked his pocket watch, then waited for a good moment when he had enough space to put a speed bubble. He was reasonably sure nobody was looking. Off came the hat. He dropped the cane and reversed his jacket, turning it into a brown and yellow military coat, matching that of the guards. He pulled off his fake nose and took a triangular cloth cap out of the bag he'd dropped by the wall. He put this on his head instead of the gentleman's hat. Always have the right hat. That was the key. He strapped a handgun on over the coat after dropping his pants, revealing the soldier's uniform beneath. Then he collapsed his bubble and jogged around the corner, making his way up to the tracks. He found the captain organizing his men, yelling orders. There were some angry noblemen arguing with one another nearby. The cargo wasn't being unloaded. That was good. Wayne had figured they'd just give up on this run, with all the fuss, but Wax had disagreed. He said that the Tekkiels had made such a big deal of the breakknot that a hiccup or two wouldn't stop them.
Fools,
Wayne thought, shaking his head. Farnsworth didn't agree with the decision. He'd been in House Tekkiel's private guard for 10 years now, though he'd mostly served on the outer estates with his lord, who was chronically ill. Farnsworth had seen a lot in his time, and he'd learned that there were reasons to take risks. To save a life, to win a battle, to protect the house's name. But to take a risk just because you'd said you would? Foolishness. He jogged up to the captain he'd talked to earlier and saluted.
Sir, he said, I'm Farnsworth Dobbs. Lord Evans from Tekkiel said I should report to you.
An outer estates accent with a hint of aristocracy picked up from so long associating with them. The man was looking frazzled.
Very well. I guess we can use every man. Sorry, sir, Wayne said, leaning in. Lord Evenstrom is excitable sometimes. I know how it goes. This isn't the first time he sent me to help someone who didn't need it. Bren and I will stay out of your way.
Bren?
Oh, he was right behind me,
Wayne said, turning around, looking confused. Wax ducked out of the station wearing a uniform similar to Wayne's. He also had a fake paunch of some size, hiding some specific materials he'd need for the night.
There he is,
Wayne said.
He's a dull-minded lout, sir. His father left him the position, but you could hit his steel against flint all night and not get a spark, if you know what I mean. Well, stay here, the captain said. Guard this post. Don't let anyone approach the train car, no matter what they look like.
He left, running over to the batch of noblemen.
Hello, Wax, Wayne said, tipping his hat to the other man. Ready to get swallowed?
Waxillium glanced back toward the station building. Civilians were still scattering. The ground was littered with hats and handkerchiefs.
You need to make sure they still send the train, Wayne. No matter what, it must go forward.
Oh, I thought you said they'll be too embarrassed not to launch it.
For the first part, yes. Not so sure about this next part. Make it happen, Wayne.
Sure thing, mate. Wayne checked his watch. Shades light.
A sudden series of cracks split the air. Gunshots. Even though Wayne was expecting them, they still made him jump. The guards around them cried out, shouting, looking for the source of the shots. Waxillium fell, screaming, blood spraying from his shoulder. Wayne caught him as another guard spotted flashes coming from atop the building. The guards opened fire as Wayne dragged Waxillium out of harm's way. He looked about, then, acting frantic, shoved Waxillium into the open door of the rail car. Some of the guards looked at him, but nobody said a word. Waxillium's eyes were staring dead into the air. The other guards had probably lost mates to bandits or house skirmishes, and they knew. In the heat of the fighting, you got the wounded to safety, and it didn't bloody matter where. The firing stopped from atop the building, but it started up again from a rooftop nearby. A few bullets sprayed sparks from the top of a nearby girder.
A little close there, Marcy, Wayne thought with annoyance.
Why did every woman he met try to shoot him? Just because he could heal from it. That was like drinking a man's beer just because he could order more. Wayne plastered a worried look on his face.
They're coming for the cargo,
he yelled. Then he grabbed the door to the large cargo car, kicked the counterbalance lever to the side, and ran forward. He slammed the door on the brake knot shut, Wax inside the rail car, Wayne himself standing outside, before anyone thought to stop him. The gunfire stopped. Nearby, the guards cowering behind cover looked at Wayne with horrified expressions. The door to the train clicked into place, settling in.
"Rust and ruin, man," one of the nearby soldiers said. "What have you done?"
"Locked up the cargo," Wayne said.
"Look, it made them stop."
"There were supposed to be soldiers inside there," the captain said, running up to him.
"They were trying to get in before we got it locked," Wayne said. "You saw what they were doing."
He looked at the door.
"They can't get to the cargo now. We've won."
The captain looked concerned. He glanced at the noblemen who were picking themselves off the ground. Wayne held his breath as they came storming over to the captain. The captain, however, repeated Wayne's same words.
"But we stopped them,"
the captain explained, knowing that he, and not Wayne, would bear the blame if it was decided that mistakes had been made.
"They dropped their attack. We won."
Wayne stepped back, relaxing against a pillar as guards were sent to try to find out who had been shooting. They came back with a large number of rifle bullet casings planted on the ground in various locations, though most of the shots had been blanks. Several beggar boys had been paid to fire blanks into the air, then plant stories of men getting into horse carriages and riding away in a hurry. In under an hour, the train was on its way, with everyone at House Tekiel convinced they'd fought off a major Vanisher's robbery. There was even talk of giving Wayne a commendation, though he deflected the glory to the captain and slipped away before anyone could begin asking just which lord retained him as a bodyguard.